sharing with you a funny little thing I found in something called Wisdom from the Mouths of Babes. Patrick, age 10, says, never trust the dog to watch your lunch. Michael, age 14, says, never tell your mom that her diet's not working. Hannah, age 9, says, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid, don't answer yes. Keo, age 11, says, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. Imagine, can you see that in your mind's eye? Lauren, age 9, says, permanent markers are really not great when they're used as lipstick. And finally, Eileen, age 8, says, never try to baptize a cat. I think Kristen, our daughter, probably had a safer strategy. One day I heard her in her bedroom talking, and I couldn't understand why or to whom, because I knew no one was over visiting. So I peeked in, and she was standing in the middle of her room baptizing all of her dolls with a bowl of water. And she said, you know, I've got to get them all, she says, because baptism is for everyone. Out of the mouths of babes, right? Baptism, as we know, is a sacrament of the church. What is a sacrament? Well, the word sacrament is the Latin translation of actually a Greek word, mysterion. From the early days of the church, baptism has been associated with the mystery that surrounds God's action and presence in our lives. We can't rationally explain why God would love us while we were yet sinners and don't deserve it, or why he would give his only begotten Son and allow him to be sacrificed that we might have eternal life. I think that's the most sacred and unfathomable mystery of them all. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God actually acts through baptism. And it is the sacrament, not of what we do, but what God has done for us in Christ. God's grace and our response to it are not tied up in the single moment of baptism, but continue and deepen throughout our entire lives. It's a sacrament meant for those who profess their faith and for their children. And together we come together through baptism as the family of God. Over the history of Christianity, there's been many instances, sadly, when I think people have lost sight of the really important facts about baptism and ended up arguing over details and myths and human opinions. One detail that I'm sure we're all very familiar with and has been a source of controversy is whether you baptize infants or children or whether it can only be adults. From the earliest of times, adults as well as children and infants were baptized and included in the church. We know that historically, and the scriptural authority for this ancient tradition that some scholars cite is actually Mark 10. Let the little children come to me, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. We also know scripturally that three households, entire households, were baptized. At least one of them must have contained children. Then there's the perennial debate about how to baptize, you know, and I kind of think about this as the sprinklers and the dippers and the washers. There's different approaches to how we baptize. Baptize, the word, literally does mean to dip. But in the Bible, it's not always used that literally. It's also used in other places, in Mark and Acts and Luke, it's also used to mean wash. So both, in fact, are correct. But doesn't history tell us that dipping was the original mode that was used? Well, you know, our human history is not infallible. Our Protestant faith, back to the Reformation, at the heart of it is something called sola scriptura. The Bible alone is what it means, and the Bible is deliberately vague when it comes to the mode of baptism, and which is preferable. In Mark, or in Matthew 3:16, we read this. It says, Jesus came up out of the water after his baptism. In Greek, in Matthew 3:16, it means Jesus literally came up away from the water. It is perhaps purposely not clear whether he was immersed or in fact stood up to in his ankles. Historical evidence outside the Bible suggests that he was immersed, but the biblical record is very vague when you take a look at the original language. He came up away. Could mean an awful lot of things. After all is said and done, the question becomes not about the method, I believe, of baptism. What's important is the fact and the event and the experience of baptism. Based on scriptural authority, if not vagueness in the scriptures, sprinklers, deer sprinklers, dippers, and washers are all equally baptized in Christ. All our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever mode they choose. And I would suggest that if we stay stuck on how we baptize rather than why we baptize, we miss the point. The why. What's the why? It's really simple. It's because God loves us and wants us to be in a relationship with Him. Baptism, you see, doesn't start with us. It starts with God. It's a gift from God. There's nothing we can do to earn it, to deserve it. It's a sign that God in Christ has done everything that's necessary to redeem us. The mystery of faith is that God's act of self-giving is offered to us freely long before we even recognize the need for it. God says in baptism through Christ to us that we are part of Christ's death for sins, and we're part of His resurrection from the dead to life eternal. God actually gives us a newness of life. He gives us hope in the place of hopelessness. He gives us forgiveness and holiness in the place of our sin, and the fullness of life in the place of eternal death. Baptism, you see, is an ongoing gift. It's not a one-and-done kind of event. We have the event, but it only starts the spiritual process. It's a gift in which God works in us and strengthens our faith and connects us to God through Christ all through our life. And baptism is also the initiation into the household of God. A new family relationship is formed when a person, an infant, a child, an adult is baptized. The promise of God's faithfulness supports us even while we're infants in the faith. Our age at baptism is not significant. Whether we are baptized as infants or adults or as babes in the faith called to grow and mature, we all need to grow and mature into the full stature of Christ. We are all, through baptism, children of the covenant. It's all about what God has done for us, what God has given us, and the gracious plans that He has for us. It's all about God saying to each and every one of us, I have called you by name, and you are mine. You see, baptism is also the door through which we join into the church, Christ's body, the Holy Catholic, meaning universal, church. Through baptism, we're anointed with the Spirit and appointed to actually become part of the royal priesthood, serving Christ and serving one another and transforming the world for Christ's sake. The implications of baptism for a life of discipleship shouldn't be minimized, because that is what it introduces us to. It's the beginning of a new life in the world where ethical and social and political decisions are all made in light of our response to God in Christ. It commissions us to use our gifts to strengthen His church and to transform the world. Remember your baptism. Because what happened in your baptism, and what happens in every baptism that will happen today here for Riley Ann, is no less a miracle than what happened when Jesus was baptized. Your baptism, you see, is filled with Jesus and connects you to Him. Your baptism is filled with the Holy Spirit and marks the start of Christ's presence and work in your life. Every baptism is witnessed. Yours, Riley Ann's, mine, everyone's, every baptism is witnessed by our Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, who smiled and said of you exactly what He said of Jesus, you are my beloved child, with you I am well pleased. My friends, if Satan ever tempts you to doubt that God loves you, if you have those nagging wonderings, if does Jesus care? If you ever find yourself doubting if God still calls you his child, if you ever think for one moment that God no longer cares or can't forgive you, think of your baptism. You were baptized in the name of God, the whole name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It really happened. It's a concrete point in time. And what also happened at that time is that all of God gave you a name that day as well. God said, "You are my beloved child." Remember that, not just on your good days, when all is going well. Remember it on your awful days too. Thank God for your baptism. Remember and celebrate your baptism. Remember your baptism because it means something. And if you have not been baptized or you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come talk to me and we'll fix that real soon. My friends, what a joy to know that God says to each of us, "I have called you by name, and you are mine." Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly and gracious God, we are so thankful that through your love that you extend to us that relationship in baptism that allows the Spirit to enter in to begin to shape and form and transform us through our lives and opens the door to a whole spiritual church family, wherever that may be. We thank you that we become part of your universal church where we have a huge international family of dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray your blessing, Lord, upon each of us here this day, in the sense that we come to remember and value our baptisms and ask that you would move in minds and hearts where they may not have experienced this, that they might come to know you through it as well. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As we prepare for the sacrament of baptism, I'd invite you to sing number 521.